All right, buckle up, because we're about to go fast API fast. We're diving deep into the world where speed is king, and I've got the intel to prove it. We're talking blueprints, secret ingredients, the works, all the good stuff to make your applications lightning fast.
Oh, you make it sound like we're building a rocket ship over here.
Well, maybe not a rocket ship exactly, but when you're building apps that can handle thousands, heck, even millions of users at once without breaking a sweat, it does feel kind of like rocket science.
Right. Yeah, it's a whole other ball game.
Seriously, though, I've been going through these lecture notes on, get this, building scalable fast API applications, and the way they describe asynchronous programming, it's like I've been stuck in the slow lane.
Yeah, it's a game changer for sure.
So fast API for building super responsive applications, even with tons of requests coming in hot. And this is where asynchronous programming comes in, right?
You got it. It's the secret sauce.
Okay, so walk me through this a bit. The documentation I read mentioned these things, async and await. What are those all about?
Okay, so imagine this. Your app needs to grab some data from another API, like let's say real-time stock prices or something.
Okay, I'm with you.
Now, if you're using old-school synchronous programming, your app is basically stuck waiting for that data before it can even think about doing anything else.
So it's like one task at a time and everything else is just left hanging.
Exactly. It's a bottleneck city.
Okay.
But with FastAPI, you've got options. We enter the world of async and await.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this async await magic.
So you can use this keyword async and basically flag a function as something that might take a while, like our stock price API call ring.
Right.
But here's the cool part. While that function is off doing its thing, fetching that data, the rest of your app can keep on chugging along, no problem.
So it's like multitasking, but for apps.
You got it. Maximum efficiency. And when that API call finally gets back with the data, that's where await comes in to smoothly bring that data back into the mix.
Wow, okay. So it's about making sure my app is making the most of its time, not just sitting around waiting for one thing to finish.
You're getting it. It's all about maximizing efficiency. Now, let's say you have a user scrolling through a social media feed, and it needs to constantly load new posts.
Right. So many apps do that these days.
With the traditional setup, all that fetching can make things pretty laggy, especially for folks with slower internet connections. You know, that dreaded spinning wheel of doom. We've all been there. But with FastAPI and its async capabilities, the app can fetch and load all that stuff in the background without slowing the user down one bit.
So I'm scrolling, new posts are magically appearing, but everything feels smooth and instant. No more waiting around.
You nailed it. That's the power of FastAPI. Users these days, they expect things to happen instantly, and FastAPI delivers.
No argument there. Instant gratification is the name of the game. So we've got this need for speed covered by FastAPI. What else makes it so special? Because when I look at the documentation, there's a lot going on. It's a bit daunting, actually.
Well, remember those rocket ships we were talking about?
Yeah.
You need more than just a powerful engine. You need a well-organized structure. And that's where FastAPI's approach to routing comes in, keeping everything in tip-top shape.
Okay, so we're talking about being organized now. My desk could certainly use some of that, but how does this translate to web applications?
Think of it like this. As your app grows, you'll end up with more and more endpoints. Those are the URLs that handle different actions, like creating a user profile, fetching product info, the things apps do.
I get it.
Now, without a good way to organize all those endpoints, your code base can become a real mess. Hard to navigate, difficult to maintain, a real headache, honestly.
Been there. It's a nightmare trying to find anything.
Exactly. And that's where FastAPI's AP router comes to the rescue. It lets you group those related endpoints in a smart way.
So instead of one massive file with every single endpoint crammed into it, I can have, say, a user router for everything about users, a product router for all things product related, and so on.
Exactly. Modular design. It not only keeps your code clean, but also makes it so much easier for teams to work together without tripping over each other.
Collaboration without the chaos. I like the sound of that. This API router thing seems pretty important, especially as an application grows. What about the data side of things? We've talked about speed, organization, but every good app needs a solid data foundation, right?
Data is key. You can't have an app without it. And luckily, FastAPI makes it super easy to work with databases, especially ones using SQL.
Okay, because I've worked with databases a little, and it always felt like I was juggling two languages, swishing back and forth between Python and SQL.
It can feel that way, but FastAPI integrates really well with a library called SQL Model.
SQL model, okay. have to check that out.
You should. It basically acts as this bridge between your Python code and the SQL database.
So I can write my database queries in plain Python, and the SQL model does all the translating for the database.
Yeah, exactly. It handles it all. You define your data structure, like what tables you need, the columns, the relationships between them, all using nice and clean Python code.
Hold on, let me see if I'm following this right. I'm basically just writing Python code, telling it how I want my data organized, and SQL model takes care of the rest, like actually creating all that stuff in the database itself.
You nailed it. It simplifies things so much. You can focus on your application logic instead of getting bogged down by all the finicky SQL syntax.
So FastAPI is not only fast and well-organized, but it even does the database heavy lifting for you.
That's the goal.
I'm starting to see why people rave about it. Okay, but before we get too carried away, our sources, did they mention anything about when it's best to use FastAPI? It can't be the perfect solution for absolutely every project, right?
You're right. FastAPI, while it's super versatile, really shines in certain situations. Remember how we talked about asynchronous programming earlier and how it handles those tasks that take a while to finish without slowing down the entire app?
Right, right. Could we do a quick recap just to make sure I'm on the same page?
Of course. We were talking about how older synchronous programming can cause bottlenecks whenever the app has to wait for something, like when an API call needs to return data.
Right, right.
FastAPI, with its asynchronous capabilities, handles those waiting periods super efficiently. This makes it a perfect fit for applications that deal with a lot of what we call I/O operations.
I/O operations, as in?
Basically, any task that involves input or output. Like when you're grabbing data from a database, reading or writing files, or even making requests to other APIs.
Okay, I get it.
These actions usually involve waiting for some external thing to happen, and that's where FastAPI's asynchronous nature makes all the difference.
So if I have an app that's constantly talking to other services, pulling data from different places, or handling tons of user requests that involve dealing with data, that's where FastAPI really shines.
Exactly. FastAPI can really outperform those older synchronous frameworks, especially when it comes to speed, how quickly it responds, and how well it uses resources. It's a real winner in those situations.
So it's not just about pure processing power. It's about using smarts to optimize those unavoidable waiting times that are just part and parcel of modern apps.
You got it.
FastAPI is like the ultimate multitasker, like that friend who can juggle a million things at once.
I like that analogy. And the coolest part is it does all this while still being easy for developers to use. The code is clear, it's well documented, lots of developers find it a joy to work with.
That's always a plus. No one wants to wrestle with confusing code all day.
All right, so let's talk user authentication, because yeah, that's important. And it's something that FastAPI handles really well. Remember our chat about SQL model and how it smooths over all those database interactions?
Yeah, like it's a universal translator for my database, makes things so much easier.
Exactly. Well, it also extends to user authentication. We could use that same SQL model to define a model just for user accounts.
Okay, so it's similar to how we talked about defining models for our app's data. We do the same for our users, like creating a blueprint of what info needs to be stored for each user, right?
Spot on. We can define everything. Usernames, emails, passwords, all neatly organized using Python code. Then SQL model takes over and creates the corresponding table and columns in the database.
Sounds pretty straightforward, but I've got to ask, storing passwords securely.
Now that's a whole other beast, right?
You're absolutely right. Can't just leave them lying around. Security is super important, and FastAPI's got your back. We don't store passwords in plain text. That'd be a disaster waiting to happen. Instead, we use something called hashing.
Hashing? Sounds a bit like making a hash brown. What's the deal with that?
Okay, so think of it like this. A hash function takes some input, like a password, and it transforms it into this unique, jumbled string of characters. It's a one-way street, though. Once you hash it, there's no going back. You can't take the hash and reverse engineer it back into the original password. Ah, so it's like turning a secret message into an unbreakable code. But how does that make things more secure?
Let me explain. When a user signs up for your app, we take their password, run it through this hash function, and store that resulting hash in the database. Later, when they try to log in, we take the password they entered, hash it again using the same function, and then compare the two hashes.
So we're basically comparing scrambled versions of the password.
Exactly. If the scrambled versions match, we know they've put in the right password, all without actually storing the password itself directly in the database.
Pretty neat, huh?
That is pretty clever. So even if someone somehow got into our database, they wouldn't see the actual passwords.
Exactly. Plus, to make things even more ironclad, we can even add something called a salt. It's like adding a secret ingredient to our password recipe. Basically, it's a random string of characters, unique for each user, that gets mixed in with the password before hashing.
Adding a little spice to throw off the hackers. I like it. You got it. This makes it virtually impossible for attackers to use those pre-computed tables of hashes, you know, like rainbow tables, to crack our passwords. So even if two users somehow picked the same password, the salt would make sure their stored hashes are totally different.
Okay, I'm seeing how seriously FastAPI takes security, which I appreciate. But what about when the user's already in? How do we control what they can and can't do within our app?
You're talking about authorization. And
yeah.
You're right, authentication is just the first step. Once they're in, we need to make sure they only access what they're supposed to. FastAPI offers a bunch of options, but a common approach is something called role-based access control.
Roles, so like admin, editor, viewer, kind of like in those old school video games where your character class dictates what you can and can't do.
Exactly. We assign roles to users, and each role has a set of permissions. So an admin might have full access to everything, they're the boss. An editor can create and edit stuff, but maybe not delete things. And a viewer, well, they can just view things, as the name suggests.
So it's like different levels of backstage passes at a concert.
I like that. And FastAPI makes it super easy to implement those roles and permissions.
Hmm.
We can even use special decorators on our route functions to restrict access based on roles.
So if I have an endpoint that's for admin eyes only, I can just slap a decorator on it that says, admins only, VIP access required.
You got it. Super elegant way to handle authorization. Only authorized users get past the velvet rope, so to speak.
I'm seriously impressed with FastAPI. It's like it has an answer for everything. We've covered so much, this whole asynchronous programming thing, databases, and now user authentication. For someone who's totally new to FastAPI or even someone who's just heard of it, what would you say is the biggest selling point? Why choose FastAPI over all the others?
That's a great question. For me, it's the perfect blend of speed, efficiency, and how developer-friendly it is. Oh, and let's not forget, it's focus on modern best practices.
So it's fast, but not at the expense of making developers want to tear their hair out.
Exactly. FastAPI is designed to be easy to use, well-documented, and a pleasure to work with. It leverages the best parts of Python, like type hinting, to make the code super readable and less prone to errors. Nobody wants to spend hours debugging, right?
Right. And you know, all this talk about concurrency and asynchronous programming might sound a bit intimidating at first. But as we've seen, FastAPI makes it all surprisingly approachable, even for devs who aren't experts in those areas. It's like having a secret weapon that's actually easy to use.
I love that. FastAPI really empowers developers to build these high-performance apps without needing to be a concurrency wizard. And don't forget about its strong stance on security, its clear documentation, and its awesome community, all big wins in my book.
It's clear why FastAPI is becoming so popular in the web dev world. So much to offer.
Totally. And we're just getting started. There's even more to this framework than we've had time to cover. But we are reaching the end of this act, so to speak. Any closing thoughts before we move on to the grand finale?
We've talked about the core feature speed, how organized it keeps things, database integration, and that all-important security aspect. But like you said, the journey doesn't end there. FastAPI's got even more tricks up its sleeve.
Oh, yeah. We're about to dive into some seriously cool advanced techniques that really highlight just how flexible and powerful FastAPI can be. Get ready for dependency injection.
And we're back with the final part of our FastAPI deep dive. I feel like we've covered a ton, but knowing this framework, there's always more to learn, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're just getting warmed up. Remember those insider tips I mentioned? Well, get ready, because we're about to jump into some really cool techniques that show off just how powerful FastAPI can be. One of them is this thing called dependency injection.
Okay, dependency injection. Sounds kind of complex, like something you'd need a computer science degree to understand.
I promise it's not as scary as it sounds. Think of it like this. Imagine you have a toolbox, right? And it's full of all these specialized tools, each one perfect for a specific job. Dependency injection is like having a system where you can easily grab the exact tool you need, exactly when you need it, without lugging around that whole heavy toolbox everywhere you go.
So instead of building everything from scratch every time, I can just inject these pre-built components right into my code.
You got it. In FastAPI, those tools are basically functions, and we call them dependencies. You define them once, and then boom, you can inject them anywhere you need them.
Can you give me an example? How would you use this dependency injection thing in like a real-world FastAPI app?
Sure. Let's say you're building an online store and you need to work with a database to handle all your products, orders, and user info. Now, instead of writing the same database connection code over and over again in every single function that needs to talk to that database, you can create one dependency function. This function, it handles all that connection logic for you.
So it's like the master key to the database.
Exactly. And then in any other part of your application where you need to interact with the database, you just tell FastAPI to use that dependency function. And FastAPI takes care of the rest. It runs that function, makes the database connection, and passes it along to your code.
Wow, that's really slick. Like having a personal assistant who preps everything in advance.
It's a huge time saver, and it makes your code so much cleaner and easier to maintain. Speaking of keeping things clean, another area where FastAPI really shines is in testing.
Testing. Yeah, we can't forget about that. It might not be the most glamorous part, but it's so important.
Absolutely. And with FastAPI, testing is actually pretty painless. It works seamlessly with popular testing frameworks like PyTest, which means you can write those unit tests, integration tests, even those end-to-end tests that simulate real users interacting with your application.
So we're not just building a fast and efficient app with FastAPI, we're also making sure it's nice and stable too.
You got it. It's like having that safety net to catch those nasty bugs before they have a chance to cause any real trouble. And that peace of mind, it's priceless for both developers and for users. But there's one more crucial aspect we can't ignore. Security.
Security. Always top of mind, right? We already talked about user authentication and authorization earlier, but are there other things FastAPI brings to the table when it comes to building secure apps?
For sure. FastAPI is built from the ground up with security in mind. It comes with tools and encourages practices that help protect against all those common web vulnerabilities, things like cross-site scripting, SQL injection attacks, that sort of thing.
Those sound pretty scary. How does FastAPI help us fight back against them?
Well, for starters, it's a big advocate for input validation. This means making absolutely sure that any data coming into your app, whether it's from users or external sources, is in the right format and doesn't contain any malicious code. And remember those authentication and authorization mechanisms we discussed earlier. FastAPI has built-in ways to handle those securely as well.
It's like having a whole security team backing you up right there in the framework itself. Seriously, the more we uncover about FastAPI, the more impressive it gets. It's fast, efficient, easy to use, secure, and it's clear why it's creating such a buzz.
It's a real game changer for building the next generation of web applications. And the best part is there's a really active and passionate community behind it, always pushing the boundaries of what's possible with FastAPI. It's really exciting to be a part of it.
It sounds like it. And on that note, I think we've reached the end of our FastAPI deep dive. Hopefully everyone listening has a newfound appreciation for this amazing tool and are excited to explore it further. And hey, remember, every single app you use, every website you visit, it all starts with code. So next time you're scrolling through your favorite social media or buying something online, take a moment to appreciate the incredible work that goes into making it all happen. Until next time, everyone, happy coding.